Father, we come before you humbly. We come before you seeking your face. And Lord, we come also grateful that we've endured this past month, these past ordeals, knowing that you're still on the throne and knowing that we're still your child. So Father, today, open up our understanding in such a way that we will see the beauty of this walk. We'll see the beauty of the calling of who we are and see just why the enemy hates us so much. But Father, we know this one thing, that if we put our trust in you, nothing can stop us. So Father, we trust you now as you're going to speak to us. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen. All right, maybe see it. Today's one of those days to where, you know how sometimes you think you know something,
you really don't know,
but you actually just know superficially what it is? Today's one of those subjects that everyone here knows and you think you have an idea, but we have to go a little deeper because there's realities that we want to look at that we're dealing with. Again, we're going to look at the subject of discernment. And that's a thing that is essential. But again, it's one of those things we all think we know, and we don't realize we only know superficial. So we're going to dive a little bit today, and you're going to, again, the things that have happened to you make sense once you put them in order. You know? Okay, for those that do puzzles, raise your hand. Mm-mm. Those who like puzzles.
Just take it.
No, I mean like it, Shirai. You don't like it, no. You're making a face. If you're making a face, you don't like it. When you like puzzles, you smile. Puzzles. Yeah, you like to put together puzzles. Yeah. You like, even when people come to you with problems that you have to put things together and everything, you like that kind of thing. Yeah, those are puzzles. You know. Well, when you do puzzles, if you ever watch a person who is a master at puzzles, they never put it together the way people who just like puzzles put them together. All right, so for you puzzle masters. Yeah, you puzzle masters. What is the first thing you do? Wait a moment, you do what? You do the borders, right? No.
What?
No, the first thing you do is you look at the picture. Yeah. You look at what it is you're supposed to. How many times do people keep having to flip back at the picture because they forgot what the picture is? So first we're going to look at the picture. Then second, like y'all said, what are we going to do? We're going to organize our pieces. You don't just start putting the border together. You separate the border pieces from the other ones. You know how many people will pick out border pieces one by one and try to fit them in? No, and you're going to see where I'm going because some of y'all can kind of tell where I'm going. No, you separate the border pieces, right? And then if you really are good, like John just said, you will separate the pieces by color because you remember what the picture looked like. So if I know there's red, what am I going to do right away after I did my border pieces? Mm-hmm. I'm going to separate the red. Now, why are we doing all this separation before we even started putting the puzzle together?
You're preparing.
Because I'm going to tell you something to surprise you. You'll spend more time separating than you will doing the puzzle. Mm. When you're good, that's where all the time goes in, is separating, not putting the puzzle together. It's the separation. So I want you to listen to what you said about the puzzle. Your life is a puzzle. The reason you're having a problem is what you're trying to do with the pieces. You're trying to put together the pieces without the picture. But if I got the picture and I began to separate, then actually living it becomes easy. The hard part is when I haven't seen the picture. I can still put it together. It's just going to take me a lot longer. So one of the things that you're going to see about discernment is it's God's way of giving you the picture on things you've never seen. standing in what did God already say? Don't lean. In other words, don't you look at the picture. So we're going to see the power of discernment helps us see the picture, which makes us easy to begin to separate some things, which makes it easy to put together the pieces in our life. And now the walk becomes easier. Because watch, if, and before I move on, if the pieces do not look like anything in the picture, what should I know? Somebody see who really catches it. What should I know? It's wrong. That's not from God. The enemy has put some pieces in there. Because if I know the picture, then you can't add extra pieces to me. Because what is it I've seen? I've seen the picture. So watch again. When Stephen was dying, what did he see? He saw the picture of Jesus. And what was he able to do because he saw that picture? He was actually able to forgive them right there on the spot being stoned. Because what did he see? The picture. Now remember, he never walked with Jesus. See, it's not like Peter seeing that, because Peter saw Jesus. Stephen had never seen Jesus. Why was Paul able to endure? Because he had a picture when he was taken up into the heavens. So one thing I want to see, and I want you to see rather, is with discernment, what is the Spirit trying to give you? A picture of him and your situation, so that now what are you able to do with the things that he put in your hand? I'm able to put them together the correct way. That's the key. Because you can get some pieces in the puzzle that really almost fit, but you force them to fit. And how many times in your life have each of you out here forced some things? Right. But the way it's supposed to go, it doesn't require force. It pops right in. All right. So let's move down. So our theme is experiencing new journeys. Requires what? New discernment. All right, so this upcoming year, what is God doing with all his people worldwide? Whether they realize it or not, you're going on a trip. Everybody's going on a journey. You're not going to stay where you are.
Amen.
Now, there are seasons when we stay put, but then what did the Spirit do to Israel? The cloud would
move.
It would move, and so what would the people have to do?
Move
with it. Amen. All right, so watch. Hadn't the Spirit been telling us last year we're getting ready to move? So then we understand, we're going to move and you're going to catch up or get left. And that's what the Israelites had to do. So, but to do this moving, I need new discernment, because my discernment last year was for where I was. Now I need discernment on where I'm going. So today is a day you're going to have to drop the way that you used to think about your life, because it's based on
last year's,
plural, years. What's coming?
New year.
Because I got to see. I can't have a new journey without a new year. Because God never starts the journey except on the beginning of the year. They didn't leave Egypt in month 4. They left Egypt in. So in your heart right now, what should everybody be saying? When is this new journey for me going to begin? At the new year. So I need a different discernment. What's he going to do? All right, let's keep going. So how does Shabbat's discernment connect to Kislev's new decisions and to Tevet's new journey? Discernment enables us to enact our new decisions on our new journey by showing us two things. One, say it out loud, people. One, what does he need to show us?
The specific doors to close now.
Understand, before you go on this journey, what are you going to have to do?
Close
some doors.
you.
It's just me. I should have never said it that way. God,
you walked right
said, hey,
into
I'm
it.
Telling you to turn it down. I messed up. Take it just a little bit. Just turn it down just a little bit. Okay. I'm really getting ready to get warmed up. All right, here we go. All right, so what's the thing again? He has to do with Carl. He has to do
with family.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. That's too far. Let's give me this one. All right. What do I need to do this upcoming year?
To close some doors.
Right, so why? I'm going to ask you a question. When am I going to close the door?
Now.
Now. See, what's going to be the problem? If I wait till New Moon 1 to close the door, I'm going to get left. Now, for those of us that have had our own places, you ever notice sometimes that there's an overlap when you're moving to something new? You got a new place, but where are you still? I'm still in that old one, but what is it I really have to do before I completely move in? I got to close the door. I got to do something else. I got to turn the keys in. Because if I don't turn the keys in, what's my reality? I'm still there. So even if I never go back there, what's my reality?
I'm still there.
I still got to pay rent. I'm still there. I got something else for you. If I never turn the keys in, it's because I have an emotional attachment to that place where I was. So this month, what is the Spirit going to require in closing some of these doors? Is you getting emotionally detached. See, intellectually is not your problem. It's emotional. Now, I'm going to give you something in terms of relationship that will surprise you that I can speak pastorally, and you would be surprised about it. I deal with a lot of different couples that is in various states of marriage apart from this congregation. But there's one thing I've seen in all cases. Before anybody makes a decision, they've been wrestling with that decision for years. Then they make it. So watch what ends up happening. When had they decided?
Back then.
But when did they actually do something about it?
2 years later.
So then I'm going to ask you that question. Is how do they now describe the years that mentally they made a decision, but they never actually made it until years later? How do you tell yourself that? How many of you have ever said, man, I should have made that decision way back then? So what kept you from making it? Right, your emotions. It wasn't your intellect, because intellectually, what did you say? For example, how many times have we wanted to get a new car because our old car was messed up? How long did we still keep that old car? Too long. Yeah, so I want you to see there are times when you should have left the job, but you stayed there.
Yeah.
Times you should have left the neighborhood, but you stayed there. There's people you should have left, but you stayed there because you lack discernment. Because discernment will make me ignore my emotions and do what's right. So let's bring this all together as we get started. So, watch. I can't look forward to opening new doors yet till I close these old ones. So today you need to be praying this month, Father, show me the doors that I need to close so I can go on this new journey and not be trying to be in two places. You have to pray for that. Second thing, I need to know what? Come on, everybody, know what?
The specific seeds.
God has put seeds in every one of your hands, but you don't know which ones to plant. That's what discernment will show me, which ones to plant now. Now, you have seeds, and this is going to surprise you. God doesn't give you seeds throughout the year. through all of this next year's seeds now. Are y'all understanding what I'm telling you? Everything you need for next year to plant, he gives you now. That's why you need wisdom and discernment to know which ones to plant first. Now watch what the bridge. So tell me, Perry, if I don't have discernment, what becomes very easy for me to do? Which seeds will I plant first? Watch again. I got to plant these seeds according to the season. Now watch something that will surprise you. Most of us will plant the easiest seeds first. You get the least harvest on them. What you plant first, and something I used to do when I was a kid. My mother said, you can't eat your dessert, my mother and father, until you ate your food. Okay? So what I would do is I would eat the nastiest food first. So what would be the final taste that would be in my mouth? Dessert. You'd be surprised how the Lord gives you the hardest thing to do first so that you end up on the easiest thing. But if I plant the easiest seed first, what am I now going to do when I got to plant these harder seeds? No, I wasn't crazy about vegetables. But I ate them first. There's two vegetables I never messed with. Send me to bed. I don't care what you do. Whoop me. I don't care. I didn't like Brussels sprouts, but no, I'd eat them. I just ate them real quick. I didn't chew them to swallow them. Yeah, I didn't do that. No, Brussels sprouts. Nah. One of them y'all don't know down here called rutabaga. I hated rutabagas. When she had rutabagas, I just proceeded to go upstairs. Because I knew I was punished. I was not eating rutabagas. And to this day, so I'm glad you can't find them. Ask my wife what I'll do. My second thing, if I see anything yellow. Squash. I don't like squash. I don't like okra. I don't like the slime. I'm sorry. I just can't eat something slime. Once I saw the slime, hey, Perry, it didn't matter if it was fried. Once I saw the slime, what picture did I have in my mind? This slimy stuff you putting on my plate? No.
Slugs?
No. I got to know which ones to plant first. Okay, so what is discernment? It's the quality of being able to grasp and comprehend what is obscure. Now, this requires keen insight and what? Good judgment. All right, now, biblically, watch the difference. Biblically, it's the ability to decide between truth and error, right and wrong. Now, somebody give me something to wipe my face. Yeah. All right, get it, Mama. I'm sorry. They're releasing. All right. So why is discernment vital? This is the part I want y'all to underline, because this is how he gets you all the time. Satan baits believers with a lie wrapped in a layer of truth. So what is, think about it. It's like having some nasty food wrapped with some good food. So you see what first? The good food, the layer. So watch again. What is it that we see? All right, no, in this instance, what do we see? The truth. But you don't realize what has he done. He's wrapped it around the lie. So when you eat the truth, what are you also getting?
The lie.
You're getting the lie. So watch where we're going with that. By offering it in a way that we don't discover what?
The hook.
All right, so you fishermen. See, the fishermen know this thing here. Fish are a lot smarter than we think they are. If you put some bait and they can see the hook, that's like little mice. You put the little cheese on that little trap and they looking at you, laughing at you because they know how to get the cheese without snapping the trap. But there's a way. And that is, you could literally get a bucket, put some peanut butter in there, and they will go after the peanut butter, fall in the bucket, and they can't get out. Where are we going with that? He's going to bait the lie so deep that you don't see it. And now it hooks you. Except when I have discernment. Because discernment tells me, yeah, that's the truth on top, but I know what's underneath. I see the lie that's behind that. Where does needing new discernment for this new journey begin this month? First type of discernment. There's three types. Discernment is also known as insight. So if you ever hear the word insight, they're really talking about discernment. They're the same thing. There's a natural discernment. In other words, you don't have to be saved to have this discernment. All men have this. So watch Paul and watch how this is natural, not spiritual. All right, let's read. Okay.
Saul stood in the council meeting and said, "Men of Athens, I see how very religious you are in every way. For as I was walking around, looking at your shrines, I even found an altar which had been inscribed to an unknown god. So the one whom you are already worshiping in ignorance, this is the one I proclaim to you."
So what insight did Paul have? Was this spiritual? Did the Holy Spirit reveal anything to him?
No.
No. What did he just say? As I was what?
Walking.
I'm just walking around and I see that. So there's the natural discernment. It has nothing to do with spirituality. It's natural. Then there's second type. There's a spiritual discernment. Now that's available to all believers. So let's read that one.
Yes, if you will call for insight and raise your voice for discernment.
All right, stop, Kenny. Everybody listen to what he said. What does it start off? Yes, next word.
If.
So whenever I see if, I always have to remember there's an if not. Right. If I would do what? Come on, people, let's repeat it again.
Yes, if you will call for
insight. Who's it on? It's on me. So understand, this insight, this discernment, I have to ask for. I have to seek it, and now it'll sit there. And if you never ask for it, you never go get it. You'll never have it. And you can't pray to get it. You have to go get it. So why do a lot of believers lack discernment, spiritual? They won't go get it because watch the lie they believe. And I'm gonna repeat this to you. Tell me, don't this sound good? For he has given me all things that pertain to life and godliness. But God could give me something and put it over there by Kevin. So did he give it to me?
Yes.
Yeah. But what's my responsibility?
I have to go get it.
So I'm going to say, no, God has given me all things, which means God has to put it in my lap. That's the lie. You're going to find a whole lot of things. God sits out into the field, and as you walk in, you got to go get them. But if I don't have discernment, I'm going to be waiting on God instead of walking with God. See, when I walk with him, now I discover those things he has for me. But if I'm waiting on him, then now all these things, and I'm going to give you an example. What are the disciples? Lord, they're hungry. Somebody please tell me what Jesus' next words were. You give them something to eat. What was their response? Basically, how are we going to feed all these people? It never occurred to them. He said to them, you do it. Because he told them earlier, the things I do, you can do. They didn't believe it. And you're going to see today, because of the lack of discernment, people don't believe a lot of things that they're actually able to do. Because Satan has baited them with that hook, that little lie that's on that hook. Now, watch this. After he was resurrected, Peter did those things. So here's my question. If Jesus told him he could do it before, but Peter didn't start doing it till after. So what could Peter have been doing in the interim?
He could have done it before.
Come on, the sermon, people. What can you be doing now? The same thing. Because if he, and this is where I did the first time God had me pray for someone that got healed. I said, if they can do it, I can do it. And then he said, and then do it. So I did it. And we have a medically verified miracle because he had me pray for this person. Because I believe he's not a respecter of persons. Now, you can't use that because I wasn't a pastor. I was just an ordinary person. See that lie? Is there things that I can do for the Lord? I don't have to have a title. I don't have to have a position. But if I can convince you because you don't have a title and you don't have a position, now you sit back and won't do things. Yeah, there are some things you have to have that title and that position. Because if you go to cast out demons, you better make sure they know who you are. Oh, yeah, because you'll find out. So watch where we are now. Can you do more than you realize?
Yes.
All right, every parent in here, hasn't your child been able to walk long before they actually walked? So what kept them from walking? Their fear. What's keeping us from walking? Our fear. Because you have the ability, you have the qualification to do a lot of things. But I've accepted that I'm hooked. I believe that lie. We got to get unhooked today. Third thing, there's a spiritual gift of discernment. Now, this is only available to specific believers. Not everybody gets this gift. No. Spiritual gift. That third one is spiritual gift. All right, let's read it again.
To another, faith by the same Spirit. And to another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to judge between spirits, to another the ability to speak in different kinds of tongues, and yet to another the ability to interpret tongues.
So you notice that the ability to judge between spirits, that's discernment. Does everybody have that? No. Here's something important. If you're going to be up here, you better have that gift. Because people, which I've told some of you, know this story I'm getting ready to tell real quick. When I was young, and the Lord commissioned me to begin this walk, we had a Bible study. And in that Bible study, we had two people possessed by the devil. And them two people possessed by the devil was the most faithful. They were more faithful in there than our other people.
What?
So when the Lord told me to go lay hands on the one to cast the devil out of her, I'm not going to lie, I was shocked. I just obeyed. That little 5'1" girl took two men and lifted them up like that. Good dramatic effect. Bang. Now, when she lifted them up, now the smallest of them, of the men, was 5'9". When she lifted them up, what do you think the rest of the people that was in that room? No, but see, they wanted to run, but to run, they had to run by her because that's where the door was. So what were these people doing? They were trying to get out windows. They were trying to get under the bed because they knew her. She quoted scripture. She prayed for people. But when I went to lay hands on her, the Lord said, now command her to say Jesus' name. She kept saying, and then that's when she said, whoa. And when she she said, womb, womb. I'm thinking it's done. He said, no, now go pray for this other one. I go to lay hands on her, and then she is the one who's getting down in the floor and whose neck turned like on Exorcist, and she was like, your hand is burning me. I wish I could say, you know, I knew exactly what I was doing. All I was being obedient. So what do you think that taught me? And then the third case, the devil getting ready to walk in the door. And I'm waiting as he walks in the door. And who walks in the door but this very nice young lady, sweet as can be. By the time the Bible study was over, it was pure chaos because of her. If you're going to be up here, what must you have?
Discernment.
Because if the Lord tells you that the enemy is in somebody, then you better believe it. Because believe me, them two girls scared people so bad, nobody wanted to come back to Bible study. They didn't. They didn't want to come back. Now, those that have that gift, what are we not looking at? My wife can testify to this. When the Spirit bothers me about somebody, I don't care what they say to me. I don't care what they do. I don't care how great they sound. The bottom line is, if my spirit is disturbed, that's because something spiritually is wrong. And I'm just waiting on him to tell me what it is. Now, let's put somebody up here who doesn't have discernment. What's going to happen, y'all? Y'all have no idea the kind of troubles that y'all going to get in. Because watch again. If I'm to lay hands suddenly on no man, without discernment, I don't know who not to touch. Now, there are people the Lord will tell me don't lay hands on them. I won't even shake their hand. Then there's others, lay hands on them. So discernment is so important that you're going to see why and how it's affected your life and affected ministry. So where does needing discernment continue? With realizing discernment keeps me from transgressing unconsciously. Transgressing unconsciously. Now everybody knows you can consciously sin, but the stuff you need to really worry about is that unconscious stuff. Because it affects you so many ways that you don't realize what's affecting you. All right, okay, David, Bathsheba, what was the sin? Come on, people.
Lust.
Say what?
Lust.
Praise the lust of the eyes, right?
Uh-huh.
No, the sin was he stayed home when he's supposed to be out in the field.
Oh. Huh.
See, you see how the difference that changes? Had he been where? In the field, he would have never transgressed. He would have never created these lifelines. So what gets you and I in trouble? So watch again. What kind of sin? No, y'all just read it. We just talked about it. Unconscious. That's the sin I got to worry about because it causes me to act unconsciously. I'm not thinking. All right, okay, let's read it.
Justin, the scripture. Watch yourselves so that you won't lose what you have worked for, but will receive your full reward. Everyone who goes ahead and does not remain true to what the Messiah has taught does not have God. Those who remain true to his teaching have both the Father and the Son.
Now watch 10. Watch verse 10.
If someone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, don't welcome him into your home. Don't even say shalom to him. For the person who says shalom to him shares in his evil deeds.
Did y'all catch what he just said? So watch what he just said. So in other words, there are certain types of people I can't even invite him to my house. Now, how many of you would invite a Satan worshiper into your house? Now, watch. I'm going to give you some truth wrapped around the lie. Well, how else are we going to witness to him? Now, I know this is harsh, but watch again. What did he just say? Don't even say shalom. Don't even say peace to them. Right. If you are coming to talk to me about sacrificing children, there's nothing for me to say to you. We're going to see some more other conscious ones later. So where does it end? With realizing discernment is the key to living life uncompromisingly. Uncompromisingly. I love you to death, but I'm not going to compromise my convictions to placate you. As failing to distinguish between truth and error subjects me to the lure of false teaching, which baits my carnal mind to seek what?
Unfruitful
things and live disobediently. What does discernment cause me to do? I'm not going to fool with unfruitful things. And let me show you what one of those unfruitful things are. It's called relationships. I'm not just talking about, you know, romantic relationships. There are some people you should never even allow them or try to be friends, because it will be unfruitful, which means instead of me spending time planting life, I'm now spending time reaping death.
Ooh.
Now, I want one of y'all to go outside. When you go home tonight, I want you to go get a rock and plant it. Yeah, go get a rock, and I want you to pray over that rock. I want you to water that rock, and then let's see at Passover if you got some fruit. Now, I'm going to show you, some of y'all getting what I'm saying. There are people who are like that rock. Now, once I'm discerning you a rock, then there's no need for me to spend time trying to plant you, trying to fix you, trying to nourish you. Because a rock will forever be
a rock
and unfruitful. Now, discernment allows me to see which relationships those are. There are people I have to tell, I'm not wasting time with you. Because we've done this song and dance. You know, if after 10 years you ever produce fruit, what do I know?
You got a rock hair.
Right? It sounds harsh. All right, so if I'm unfruitful, how am I going to live? Disobediently. See, because the purpose of the rock is to get you to be unfruitful. So that now, unconsciously, how do you live? Disobedience. Because, oh, I'm going to fix this rock.
You can't fix
I'm going to make this rock, bro. So let's read. Watch what he says.
You, children, are from God and have overcome the false prophets, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world.
Okay, now stop. I'm going to give you something about discernment that most of you, I don't think you ever realize. A false prophet is not someone that just speaks in religious terms. You got false economic prophets. They're getting you to go out there and spend your money in places where it's unfruitful. See, false prophets are all around you. It's not just religion. Satan doesn't specialize in religion. discernment even to come to buying a car. Or I'm going to tell you another story. You need discernment buying your clothes.
Oh, yeah.
You don't think so? Some of y'all looking at you. You don't think so? I'm giving you a good one. If you had discernment, God sends you to the place to get what you wanted for $50. Because you lack discernment, you went someplace and spent $100. So what did you just do with the other 50? You wasted it. No, I need discernment on everything I do. Because what did he tell you earlier to call for? Discernment. He said, call for insight. Call for discernment. You need that in every area of your life. You need discernment even when you don't feel sleepy. If the Spirit say, go lay down, you better go lay down. You need to go to the restroom. You better go to the restroom. You need that discernment. Now, he's going to go deeper. Keep going. Watch what he says. They are what? Come on, Kate.
They are from the world. Therefore, they speak from the world's viewpoint.
Y'all catch it? What's their perspective, people?
World.
The world. So I got to understand, is it doesn't matter who the false prophet is or what area it's in. What's their perspective? It's from the world. It's anti-kingdom. All right, keep going.
And the world listens to them.
This is where discernment is needed. You can tell somebody the absolute truth, which they'll reject, but they'll listen to and gladly accept the lie from the world. My wife, and it's something I told her, and I already know she's going to give me a look, but it's something I told her about hairdressers. Don't believe none of them. I did. Don't believe none of them. I said, because whether you realize it or not, those of you who get your hair done, then people doing your hair are salesmen. They want to sell you their service or their product, and according to them, they can do miracles with any kind of hair. Some types of hair are best left alone. And if you got some of that, use your money wisely elsewhere. Because what is your natural hair going to do no matter what? Everybody's hair is going to go back to whatever its natural form is. Now, I'm not telling you don't get your hair done. I'm just saying don't go in there and thinking they're miracle workers. They're salesmen. They are. You go into grocery stores, you see them little people in their little aprons, and they sitting there giving you that free little meat on that, you know, on a toothpick. You thinking you getting this little free bite? Oh, they just, that's customer service. No, they trying to get you to buy that thing they got on that toothpick. Why am I talking about sales? Because you're going to realize the devil is the greatest salesman. Because he even tried to sell Jesus, didn't he?
Yes.
He said what? All of these things I can give you. There's no politician. There's no government. There's nobody that can fix the problem with a man except God. So I ain't believing none of y'all say. Because the only one that can fix it is the Creator. And he already has a plan on how he fixes it. So keep going. Now watch what he says. I love this part.
We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God doesn't listen to us. This is how we distinguish the spirit of truth from the spirit of error.
Did y'all hear what he just said? One of the ways that I know whether or not you're from God is if I tell you something that's from God and how you respond. Right, if you don't respond the right way, I already know you don't know him. Because every child of God, even a backslidden child of God, is not going to deny the truth. They may not follow it, but they won't deny it. But when you deny the truth, you don't know God. When you rebel against the truth, you could know God. But you will never deny it. You will never deny the Holy Spirit. So if you tell me there's no such thing as the Holy Spirit, I know you don't know God. Mm-hmm. You tell me I once was saved, but I don't believe X, Y, Z anymore. You didn't know God. Because you, if you knew him and you still backslid, you're still not going to deny. Because what did even Peter do? Yeah. He denied him temporarily. Yeah, because what did he do? But what did Jesus tell him before? Yeah, you're going to strengthen your brethren once you're converted, but right now they weren't converted, but we are. See, that's the difference. We are. What do we already know about this 11th month? This part, we're not going to read the scripture. Don't worry about it. It's the second month of winter. What do we know about winter? What's growing in the winter? Nothing. Ain't nothing growing in the winter. Winter is me preparing the plant. So watch the lack of discernment. I'm waiting on the harvest. No, what am I actually doing? I'm asking God, which seeds do I plant? Now, anybody that's ever knows anything about agriculture, you know you can't plant certain seeds in certain fields. Yeah. You can't just go out there and just plant wherever you want to plant. Because that field has to have the nutrients that plant. So I got to realize I got to be in certain places to get what God wants me to have. That's why I need to understand these seeds. Now, it's also the tribe of Asher, and we're going to see some important things about him. All right, so what do I need to remember about this month? In regards to Shabbat, it is the appointed. Put that down. It's the appointed. Time to prepare to do what? Right. So in other words, what month is coming? Month one. But notice, God doesn't want me to close in month 12. He wants me to start closing in month 11. Mm-hmm. Because in month 12, I got to prepare to open doors. So that now when month one comes, the doors are open. Hmm. I just walk in them. Hmm. So, again, what's your order?
To close doors.
This month, I got to what?
Close
doors. I got to also stop planting certain seeds. So, understand, what is it that I need? I need that discernment. Father, show me what doors to close. Show me what seeds
to plant.
To stop planting. And is the kicker. And Father, show me the things to stop doing. And that has to be this month. Don't wait till month one. Don't even wait till 12. Because you're going to find every person here who knows the Lord, you're going to find that you got a lot more open doors than you realize that need to be closed. When you get to discernment, so he gave me some things last night from way, way, way back. I didn't know. I got to close some doors. 12 is opening doors. But one, I got to walk through. Y'all understand what he's telling you? I got to close them this month. I got to prepare and begin to open them next month. So that come month one, what am I ready to do? I'm ready to walk through. Watch again. Walk through. I'm not waiting. That's right. I'm going to walk through. Now, but this new season, it requires a new discernment of the Father's Torah. In other words, I got to have a new understanding even of Scripture. So what can y'all not do? Because you need a new understanding. You can't rely on that old understanding you have. So part of this calling for is me getting it. Okay, that means I got to go back over some things, and then the Lord going to show me and give me some different insights. Because even now, after all these years that I've studied Scripture, man, there's new insights I get every new season of where we're going. And I mean, I got a big one that's going to come in here. Watch a big one that every one of us have assumed, and we're getting ready to get into it. Shabbat 1 or today, is when Moses reviewed the Torah with Israel before they entered the land. So you remember, God gave Moses the Torah right when they left Egypt. Now he gives them the Torah again
before they enter,
right when they're getting ready to go into the promised land. So watch what we think. Let's read it.
On the first day of the 11th month of the 40th year, Moshe spoke to the people of Israel, reviewing everything Adonai had ordered him to tell them.
So, when most of us study scripture, we see Leviticus and Deuteronomy contains about the exact same thing. But what you realize, no, they don't. It's just they share a commonality, but why was it different? Levi was given to them when they were going into the wilderness. Deuteronomy was given to them when they were coming out of the wilderness. And Levi dealt with wilderness life. Deuteronomy deals with settled life. So what does that mean to you practically? When you go into your new season on your new journey, you need to go back over some of the stuff that God has given you because it will not apply to you now. You know how many people I see as a pastor who keep holding on to things that were yesterday's seasons? They don't, that word don't apply to you now. So in Leviticus, he talked a lot about how they were to set up their camps. But what was different in Deuteronomy? He's telling them where your particular land is going to be. That's two totally different things. Levi, he said, it's about the portable tabernacle. Deuteronomy says, now when you build this temple. So are you seeing? So you going into this new season, what does each of y'all need to do? I'm going to have to go back and discern what things no longer apply to me. What promises don't apply to me now? What instructions don't apply to me? But what people do is they carry the promise, and like someone said Friday, it will become a burden to you and not even realize it's not going to be fulfilled. Because it was for that time. Now, what's going to happen to me if I keep trying to believe on that promise when it no longer even applies to my time? I'm going to get very disappointed. Very. So, any of y'all been disappointed slightly?
Mm-hmm.
So I got to
yes.
go back over some things. Father, wait a minute. Help me discern. What doors am I going to close?
Mm.
You know, I give you a good door. I'm closed. I've been closed. Y'all remember we started church? How many times a week did I teach? You realize I taught 3 times a week for 10 years. I did, 3 times a week for 10 years. Go ahead and figure out how many times I was teaching. My wife can tell you one thing I don't do is I might review what I've done before, but if you ever notice, I'm not going to teach the same thing. Because I got to stay fresh. And the only way I stay fresh is I got to stay in that word as if I don't know it. I can't assume, oh, because here's the other thing you need to understand. I'm on the backside of the mountain. There's no other position past master teacher. I can't be the most supreme, most high master teacher. I can't have all them titles. My bottom line is, where am I going? I'm going to glory. I can't fool myself. Yeah. So the last thing I want to do is go do your job. Listen to me carefully. I don't want any babies. Don't give me yours. Even when you drop by, make sure you stay there with them. Because I can't run after them like I used to. I can't throw as straight as I used to. I just have to kind of, I wait till you come back around this way. Now, why am I telling you that? Because we're going to get ready to read. You're going to see why. Because if we go even though his inheritance contained some of the richest soil in Israel. So in other words, the land where he was extremely fruitful. But watch this. But he never became the blessing to his brethren Yahweh created and prophesied him to be. Watch again. What did he do? He put him in rich soil. So what was Asher supposed to be? A blessing to whom?
His brother.
To the rest of Israel. So read the blessing. Let's go.
Of Asher, he said, may Asher be most blessed of sons.
Stop. How many sons did that man have? He had 12 sons, and what did he say about Asher?
Most
he
blessed.
Was the most blessed of all of them. So what was he supposed to be? A blessing. Do you realize that this brother here was the financial Elion? That man was the richest of the sons. Keep going. Watch what he says.
May he be the most favorite among his brothers.
What y'all read? Read that again loud. Come on, read it.
May he be the favorite among his brothers.
You understand it? This is God talking about him. This is God saying who this man is. This is who I created you to be. The most blessed of all the 12. He wasn't even the full brother. God made the half brother the most blessed. Now, was being a full brother a big deal to the other brothers? Yes,
yes,
it was.
Yes, it was.
But to God, what did he just do? That didn't even matter. Now, let's go with it. So what new perspectives does he want me to have? In regards to Shabbat, it's impossible to succeed on this new journey without the Sunday. So to go in this new season, I got to have a new discernment because what am I closing? Doors. What am I getting out of? Seasons. Yeah, see, so I can't use any of that stuff I learned last year because it doesn't apply. So watch. What could the Israelites take from the wilderness into the promised land? Nothing. That's why the Lord had to give him a new interpretation because they had never even seen it. Y'all haven't seen where the Spirit wants to take y'all next year. So you can't speculate. I just have to close, open, and walk. And in my part of reviewing, he's going to give me discernment. And now I'm going to be able to handle what I see when I walk. See, because as afraid as they were of Egypt, when they got out there in the wilderness, there were some real fighters out there that God said, I can't even take you that path because y'all would basically be paralyzed with fear. So let's watch it. Let's read Proverbs 8:14.
Good advice is mine and common sense. I am insight, power is mine.
Watch again. Now, my kids have heard me say this, and y'all heard me say that. There is no such thing as common sense from our perspective. Because what's common to you may not be common to somebody else. But what the Lord just said, and he just told you something. Y'all read it carefully again. He says what? Good advice. So y'all need to stop giving it because your advice ain't good. What did he just say? Come on. I got a couple. Yeah, that's all right, Lord. Somebody... Come on. Oh, we're almost there. We're getting a little better. Y'all going to agree with God on that. Come on, let's say, come on. Amen. Because I am disqualified. I'm unqualified to give advice because I don't know the future. I don't know the plan. I only know peace. So watch it. Keep going. Good advice is, come on. Say it loud, Kitty.
Common sense. Good advice is mine and common sense. I am insight. Power is mine.
Man, y'all better get that. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? That was the one that, man, I'm talking about want to send me through the roof. Is that right there what he just said? Watch. Good advice is mine and common sense. I am insight. In other words, I'm discretion. Discretion, he tells you, the power is mine. Power is in discretion.
Oh.
I call it discretion, but you know what I'm saying. Discernment.
Discernment.
That's how powerful discernment is. You know how powerful when you have discernment, the enemy cannot trick you.
Mm.
He can't deceive you. You have. That's how powerful this is. What does the Father wants us to have this next season? Discernment. Watch again. What does he want you to have? He wants you to have power. I will encounter things I have never seen before that I must successfully overcome. Let's read it.
Therefore, let's stop passing judgment on each other. Instead, make this one judgment, not to put a stumbling block or a snare in a brother's way.
Y'all see that? So next season, what is it I have to make sure? Not to be a stumbling block. Now, why do I need to make sure of that? Because the Spirit is going to take you places to have you do things where it's going to be very easy to cause the unenlightened to stumble. Understand that, to stumble. Now, what do we know is coming? There's a spirit of division. We know that. Well, again, what's coming, people? What will discernment not allow? The spirit of division.
Mm-hmm.
But if I don't have discernment, do I even see or notice that there's a spirit of division?
No.
Do I think it's okay to be separate from my brethren because of economics or politics or ethnicity? No, I won't see anything wrong with that. And that's exactly why the Jews had to get judged the way they did, because they wouldn't allow the Gentiles to become a part. God brought people together. The enemy divides people, and he divides them into their little groups, and then everybody feels like their group is right. And not realizing our strength is in the diversity, not being homogenous. Let's go deeper. I must have discernment as it joins with wisdom to ensure I fulfill my destiny. Remember, we talked about that picture. What's the picture? Y'all know. What's the picture? Your destiny. That's the picture, is your destiny. What David say, people? Make me to know my end. Make me to know my destiny. What did Jesus say? It's for this reason I came in to this world. In other words, he knew his destiny was to die for us and to live for us. So he didn't let anything take him off that path. So what will discernment get? What am I going to be focused on as I'm building this puzzle? As I'm walking, what's my picture?
My
end, my destiny. So in discernment, here comes the next part. Watch what he gets ready to show you. And I know you've read this passage, but we've never talked about it.
The beginning of wisdom is get wisdom.
All right, stop. Say it again, Kenny.
The beginning of wisdom is get wisdom.
So watch. Didn't God say that if any man lack wisdom, let him what? Ask of God. But see, you got to realize, you ask, he provides it, but you got to go get it. All right, you've been out in the wilderness. You're dying of thirst. You're dehydrated. I give you some water. What do you still have to do?
Drink it.
You know how many times God has given us stuff, but you got to take it? You got to get it. God doesn't go, I'm going to put it in your hands like that. So what did he just tell you to get, people? Wisdom. So watch this wisdom. told you, but that wisdom is the kind that comes down from above. Keep going, though. I love this.
And along with all you're getting, get insight.
That's the part we miss. We've always known about the wisdom, but we haven't known about the insight, the discernment that he told you right after you get wisdom, now get insight. Watch it. This is powerful. Watch what he goes.
Cherish her, and she will exalt you. Embrace her, and she will bring you honor. She will give your head as a garland of grace, bestow on you a crown of glory.
When do you get a crown of glory? At the end. So what did he just tell you? You need to get to the end. Wisdom
and insight.
And insight. See, so I won't get to the end because I won't know what the end is. So this season, what am I going to do? I may not have discernment yet what my end is for those of you that don't. But here's what you do know. You can close some doors. You can begin to open some doors. You can begin to be ready to walk when new moon one comes. In regards to Asher, lack of discernment prevented him from fulfilling his calling. Remember, what did God call him to be? A blessing. He told him, of the sons, what's he going to be?
The most.
You're going to be the most blessed?
Most blessed.
And you're going to be the favorite. Now, this is where y'all need to get ready, because this is where discernment comes in. Why? Why did he not fulfill his calling? Because his inheritance was near the Phoenicians, who excelled in trade and commerce. So rather than removing them from their territory as Yahweh directed it. Y'all catch that? He was in a place that was rich and fertile. It was very blessed. And he told them what? Get rid of these people. Watch. Instead, he became partners with them to enjoy the fruits of their profitable enterprises. So in other words, what did he do? Rather than being that blessing, let's read it. Rather than being a financial blessing to the rest of his brethren with his abilities, he allowed others to rule over him to continue pursuing his commerce. In other words, what was the thing Asher was concerned about, people? Money, business. In other words, was he talented in business?
Yes.
So what should those business believers be? A blessing to the rest of the body. But instead, what was his focus? On more and more business. Do you realize there were people from Asher that supported Jesus' ministry? The temple didn't support him. And I'm going to share something else with you. People may not like this. Matter of fact, most of the men didn't support him either. It was the women that supported him. It was wealthy women who supported his ministry. It was wealthy women who supported most of the disciples afterwards.
Yeah.
Because the men kept being like Asher. What did they keep doing? Focusing on making their money. Building their empire and not advancing the kingdom. What new truths does my father want me to embrace about this 11th month? Discernment enables me to reject the subtle lure of ear-tickling satanic doctrines. The subtle. Notice the need for discernment in what Yeshua said about the danger of false teachers. Here's one thing you don't ever have to worry about: a false teacher telling you you're going to go to hell. They don't never tell y'all that. False teachers instead say, drink the Kool-Aid. Yeah, they, tell you you're going to hell. So watch Jesus.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. For there will appear false messiahs and false prophets performing great miracles, amazing things, so as to fool even the chosen, if possible.
Now
there.
Watch. Notice what he said. If possible, because when you have discernment, you can't fool me. Because I see what's underneath that layer of truth that you say. I see the lie.
There, I have told you in advance. So if people say to you, listen, he's out there in the desert, or don't go, or look, he's hidden away in a secret room, don't believe it.
So what is the sermon has it taught me? I don't care what miracle anybody can do, Jesus is not coming first, the Antichrist is coming first. So I don't care how persuasive your miracle is, even if it appears you raised somebody from the dead, if you raise somebody from the dead in front of me, I am backing away from you. But if you lack discernment, you'll do like what the people said. Who can do something like that? That must be Jesus. No, that's a false prophet. That's a false Messiah. But if you don't have discernment, do you even know what Scripture says? All right, so notice the need for discernment in what Kepha said about the danger of false doctrine.
But among the people there were also false prophets, just as there will be false prophets among you. Under false pretenses, they will introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, and thus bring on themselves swift destruction. Many will follow their debaucheries, and because of them, the way will be maligned. In their greed, they will exploit you with fabricated stories.
Y'all see that? These false teachers? There's a whole lot of people out there that you think are, you know, really good teachers and stuff, but the bottom line, it's always money. The bottom line is about getting your money. And I'm going to fabricate stories. So what's their primary motivation for teaching? Greed. Right. Conclusion. All right, let's wrap it up. Because the sermon is needed for successful kingdom life at all times. I must reject being Asherite with self-indulgent, lazy, selfish, or faint-hearted behavior. Again, how are you going to be a warrior? How are you going to be more than a conqueror and you run from the fight? You like the uniform. Now, every one of you here, we wrestle not. But notice he didn't say you won't ever wrestle. So what are you going to do? You're going to fight spiritual forces whether you want to or not. It's better to be on the offense than defense. Being this way was the source of his punishment during David's time. So watch, because was he the favorite?
Yes.
Was he the most blessed? Watch how blessed he was. Again, I know y'all didn't know this. Asher went from being more numerous than Ephraim, Manasseh, and Benjamin. Y'all realize how much of a favorite? Now watch what happens to him. To being so few, Asher produced no heroes, and they were omitted from the chief rulers. In other words, they went from being that large to where they were so small they didn't even get put in the register. So what did all that money do for them? Nothing. Remember the rich man? What does Scripture say? He opened his eyes up in hell. Who did he see on the other side? Lazarus. Watch the arrogance. Go tell Lazarus to bring me some water. Watch again. Tell Jesus. Go back and tell my brothers. What was he used to being? He's used to being in charge. I must reject Satan's subtlety as a lack of discernment is what causes most saints to stumble. It keeps believers from measuring all things against the Father's infallible word. I don't care how good the prophecy is. I don't care how good the miracle is. I'm going to take it to the word of God. If the word of God said that ain't supposed to happen, then I already know. I know what spirit that is. That's why I watch what he says. Okay.
Dear friends, don't trust every spirit. On the contrary, test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world.
So if someone gives you a message and it's contradicted by scripture, then you know either one, they're deceived, or two, they're a false prophet. Because what are you never going to do? I'm not never going to contradict scripture. If I do, I'm going to do like the enemy does. I'm going to give you that altered version of it, because I want you to take the bait. It keeps them unwittingly making unbiblical decisions and committing unbiblical behavior. I must accept the reality. Discernment is the key to living a biblically uncompromising life, as my Father grants me discernment to guard me from deception. It guards me. When I have discernment, you can't fool me. You can't deceive me. Because where am I going to take everything to? To that living word. So once you start telling me stuff and I can't find it in the word, I can't find a pattern in the word, I can't find any connection to the word, I'm already in shutdown mode. I'm not listening to you anymore. Because here's where you get in trouble. You might not take the bait right away, but if you keep looking at it and you keep listening to it, you'll bite it. Yeah, you will. So that I distinguish valid from invalid philosophies. What's an invalid philosophy? Give you a good one. Valid philosophy. It's invalid philosophy. Gonna surprise you. God is love. Why is that invalid? Because you cannot describe God totally by saying he's love.
Yeah.
God is the totality of all of his attributes, not just one. So I can't focus on the one to the exclusion of the others. And the philosophy is, I want you to focus on the one so that you miss the other ones, and then now I got you hooked and it's too late. Now I done got you into some stuff that you realize now, oh man, I don't need to be in this. Watch it. This protects all my kingdom relationships and helps me see the truth about myself. Let's read it.
Don't quench the spirit. Don't despise inspired messages. But do test everything. Hold on to what is good. Keep away from every form of evil.
See what he just said about that? If you recognize something is evil, what must you do? What does discernment say?
Keep away.
Get away from it. Don't just not engage in it. Get away from it. How many people have died from gunfire that wasn't intended for them, but they got hit because they were in the vicinity? Being in the wrong place at the wrong time with the wrong people. See, one thing you can count on, if you're with the wrong people, the chance of you being in the wrong place is much higher when you're with the wrong people. But what does discernment say? If you have intentions on evil, I'm going to love you from a distance. Because what can happen to me if I'm in your proximity? Yes. And that's what happens to people. Last one. Everyone please stand. My Father makes me responsible for exercising his gift to discern reality for myself. Here comes our reality. Please repeat after me. Here's what discernment tells you. Repeat after me. No, I don't even want them to see. I want them to listen. But not only that.
But not only that.
No, a little louder. But not only that. also boast.
Let us also boast.
In our troubles.
In our troubles.
Because we know that.
Because we know that.
Trouble produces endurance.
Trouble produces endurance.
Endurance produces character.
Endurance produces character.
And character produces hope.
And character produces hope.
And this hope.
And this hope.
Does not let us down.
Does not let us down.
Because God's love.
Because God's love.
For us.
For us.
Has already been poured out.
Has already been poured out.
In our hearts.
In our hearts.
Through the Ruach HaKodesh.
Through the Ruach HaKodesh.
Who has been given to us.
Who has been given to us.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father God, we thank you again as we prepare for communion. We just bless you for understanding the importance.